Welcome to Dubs OT, your weekly Warriors podcast on thesportsvirus.com.
Brought to you by TPC Harding Park in San Francisco, home of the 2020 PGA Championship. And Kane's Tire in San Rafael, the lowest prices in Marin for over 60 years. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Whitson and Joe Castellano.
Coming up, we'll talk about the death of Kobe Bryant, and we'll hear from some Warriors and Shaquille O'Neal as well. We'll also touch on the Warriors game in Philadelphia on Tuesday night. But first, I want to tell you about our favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. TPC Harding Park in San Francisco is the home of the 2020 PGA Championship, and you will not want to miss this event. It's right around the corner now. Daily and weekly ticket options are available from opening day, that's May the 11th, to Championship Sunday, May the 17th, 2020, for the PGA Championship at San Francisco's very own TPC Harding Park. So check out a major in San Francisco. Go to the website, attend.thepga.com/tickets to purchase your tickets today. Well, Ray, it's a very sad week here, really, in the United States of America. Not just sports, but anybody who heard about Kobe Bryant passing away on Sunday is just really shocked by the news, and devastation is felt throughout the sports world, and especially the NBA. And I think that the tributes that have been coming out are really touching, especially when you heard that players and teams were going to have 24-second violations and 8-second violations, and the Warriors and 76ers followed suit on that. And, you know, the first thing I want to say, Ray, is that it just a player like Kobe Bryant is larger than life. And you think about athletes that die young and in a tragic way, you know, in an accident like this with a helicopter. You know, I think about Roy Halladay or maybe like a Thurman Munson. But, you know, this one strikes a lot of people. And I don't know. You're never going to forget where you were when you heard that news. For me, just to hear it, you can't believe it. You just don't think that it's real. But it is very real, and it's very, very sad.
Well, my wife and I happened to be in a sports bar when the announcement came over. And I'm looking around the restaurant, and people are just putting their hands over their mouths, and they're just stunned. And, you know, it's one of the few moments I remember in my life where I was just stopped in my tracks. It just seemed so unreal that somebody this young and vibrant who was doing a lot of good things for a lot of people. And I know I acknowledge his legacy is complicated. And there's going to be a time to talk about that, I'm sure. It has been talked about before, and I understand that. But in that very moment, it was something that just hit like a gut punch to anybody who's a basketball fan around the NBA, around the world, but in particular in L.A. I grew up in Los Angeles. And I can tell you that, you know, from the time they got Wilt Chamberlain, they had Jerry West, they had Elgin Baylor, they had Kareem, they had Magic. They've always had stars. You've got to have star power. And it was that star power that made the Lakers the top team in that town, or megalopolis, whatever you want to call it. They ran that town. And Kobe Bryant brought that to the next level. And he was loved like few athletes ever in L.A., and even Magic Johnson said he was the greatest Laker ever. Magic Johnson said that.
Yeah.
You know, so the impact is still being felt. You know, you're hearing players like his former teammate Shaq just in tears. Jerry West, who, of course, as an executive with the Lakers, was very close to Kobe. And he called it the worst day of his life, or one of the worst days. And, you know, he's talked about how he lost a brother in Korea, in the Korean War. And this is the only thing he could compare it to. It's one of those moments, you know, where sports and real life intersect, and not in a great way. But in another way, it's unifying in that fans from everywhere, fans from different teams, fans who may have booed Kobe, recognizing his greatness and feeling profound sadness because, of course, he lost his daughter, too, and yeah. There were nine people on that helicopter. including John Altobelli, a legendary junior college baseball coach at Orange Coast College, and just so many sad stories. Christine Mauser, who was an assistant basketball coach, and her husband went on the Today Show and bravely talked about what an amazing woman she was. This whole incident is so incredibly sad. It starts with losing an iconic basketball player, but there are also other stories there. And, you know, like I say, while we can talk about the complicated legacy of Kobe, the man's family is grieving right now. And personally, I just don't feel it's the time for that. It's time to reflect on a lot of people he helped, and he grew as a person. There's no doubt about it. You know, you do some of the things he's done, you can go one way or the other. And over time, you know, the misdeeds and missteps, and I know that's sugarcoating it, he did grow as a person. And stories are replete all through the websites and newspapers all around the country of teams and individuals that he took time out to help. And, you know, in my opinion, that's what it comes down to at the end of your life. Who'd you help? And sounds like he was helping a lot of people.
Oh, he was. I mean, he meant a lot to people in the sports world. I mean, he was a major proponent of women's basketball, as it turned out, and, you know, the WNBA, yeah. And, you know, even just currently working and talking with the Oregon women's basketball star, Sabrina Ionescu. You know, he just was all over basketball, congratulating LeBron James just the other day on passing him on the all-time scoring list. And I agree with you. I think the timing is bad to bring up what happened in Colorado right now. I mean, yeah, I mean, that's something that will be talked about. It's part of his legacy, but
no doubt.
I agree with you. The timing, really poor. I know there was a column written in the USA Today here as we do this podcast on Tuesday. It was written today. And I still think it's too early to be bringing that up. I mean, we're still mourning the death of somebody and his daughter.
Yeah. Again, his family is hurting right now, and it was clear. I mean, his daughters loved him, and he loved them, and sounded like he was a great dad. So there are a lot of things that make up a person's life. Some of them are bad, and some of them are good. And you know, the people closest to him obviously loved him greatly. You know, he had some issues with his wife Vanessa. They filed for divorce in 2011. But decided not to go through with it. And, you know, it sounded like over the years they made peace and were raising a family, were raising some great daughters. And you may have seen the clip where Kobe was on with Jimmy Kimmel, I believe it was, a couple of years ago. And he talked about people coming up to him saying, man, you got to have a son. Carry on your legacy. And his daughter taps herself and says, no, I got this.
Yeah, exactly.
And he really did encourage them. And he was a big, big supporter of the WNBA and women's professional basketball. And I think they've, you know, got to the point of stability where they are, in part, not in small part, from the support that Kobe Bryant gave. He was, you know, a villain for a while in this league. Let's not forget that. And this was after the incident in Colorado. And, you know, eventually he did settle a civil suit out of court. But there were fans around the league who weren't going to let him forget that. And, you know, I didn't have a problem with that. You know, there were people who needed to tell him what they thought about what went on, and he needed to hear it. And what happened was he adopted this personality, this Black Mamba, right? That's when he started calling himself that. And we were saying on the air at the time, who gives themselves a nickname? Well, it was, you know, part of the way he was going to face the world now. And, you know, he was popular, but also a lot of people saw him as the villain. And he embraced that and ended up winning a couple more titles, ended up winning an MVP. Jerry West today said, he reminded Kobe, you know, the mongoose killed the Black Mamba. And Kobe said, not this Black Mamba. And I think that pretty much summed up his attitude. A competitor like no other in this league, you know, outside of Michael Jordan and a few others, he's up in that echelon as far as somebody who who brought it every single night. Steve Kerr said it might have been the saddest day in the NBA's history, you know, thinking back to the time that Magic Johnson announced that he was HIV positive, and we all thought he wasn't long for this world, and here he is, happy and healthy, 3 decades later. But at the time, it was a gut punch as well. And then there's the death of Drazen Petrovic. But I think Steve's right. This might be the saddest time in the league's history. And I know there's a petition effort out there to change the logo for the NBA. A teenager in Vancouver who's a huge Kobe fan started the petition. There are 2 million signatures. I believe it's available at change.org. And I know that Jerry West doesn't have a problem with them changing the logo, and I think he would be very accepting of somebody that he was very close to and mentored and you know, helped become the great player he was. You know, there was a time that Kobe wanted to be traded, briefly. They talked him out of it. But other than that, he was 20 years with the same team, and that just doesn't happen very often.
No, you know, it really, he does, I guess you could say that he does deserve to have something similar to, you know, the logo. I'm not sure, but I know that he's right up there. You know, in my our lifetime, Ray, I mean, it's Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant. I mean, those are the two guys, and now LeBron James, of course. So there's the three mm-hmm. players that are, you know, they just signify somebody who's never going to be satisfied. You know, the work ethic, like you talked about, always wanting to improve and driving others around them to be great. And that's how you win championships, to win five of them. You know, it was a shame that he had that falling out with Shaq. And we'll hear from Shaq a little bit later here in this podcast, because obviously he's devastated by this news. It was too bad that they had a little bit of a falling out there, because who knows how many championships they would have won together if they had stayed together.
Yeah, at the peak of their careers, you know, egos, personalities got in the way, and that's a crying shame, because they would have won at least a couple more, I think.
Right.
You know, so they ended up going their separate ways, and Kobe did win a couple more, and Shaq won one more. But, you know, you saw the profound sadness on Shaq's face, that whatever conflicts they had, it seemed like they were pretty cool now. And he wanted to be there to give a speech when Kobe was inducted into the Hall of Fame, and that's not going to happen now. And Kobe most certainly will be enshrined later on this year. They'll go on the fast track for that. We're going to mention, you know, his competitiveness, and that was down to the very final minute of his career.
Yeah.
You know, and you might have seen the replay of his farewell game on ESPN. Mike Tirico did the game and did such a great job chronicling what was going on, and Hubie Brown was saying he was going to go for 50, and he ends up dropping 60, including 23 in the fourth quarter. I mean, is that the best farewell ever? I mean, Ted Williams hitting a home run in his last at bat. Derek Jeter, I think he had a walk-off hit. Other than that,
yeah, those are up there. But yeah, you're right.
I don't know. I don't know if there's been a better farewell in sports. And you know, he got off to a very slow start in that game. But I know some people were saying at the time that, oh, how nice of the Jazz. They probably were soft on him and let him get 60. No, man. Kobe had to work hard, and he's 38. And he doesn't quite have the lift in his legs anymore, but that pretty much symbolizes his whole career. Everything he had, he put into this game for a 16-win team at the end of the year. And by the way, it was the same night that the Warriors won their record 73rd game in 2016. And I remember that night because I was doing the post-game show, and we had a lot to talk about.
A lot, yeah.
on the Warriors flagship radio station. And you know, Steve Kerr mentioned it today, saying, hey, yeah, I mean, a bunch of our guys, once we were done with that, we were going to the locker room to see Kobe and watch the fourth quarter. And, of course, they were down by 10 and with 2.5 minutes to go, and he just explodes, and he wills them to a win, this terrible basketball team with a lot of young players, including D'Angelo Russell, by the way, who was on the floor, ending his rookie season with the Lakers a couple of teams ago. But Kobe, you know, was like 2 for 17 for 3, but he was firing away. It was, you know, meaningless game, and this is all about him. But he started making some at the end. You can imagine how tired his legs were at the end of that game. And he was able to drain a couple of threes, drive to the bucket a couple of times. And then at the end, he gets fouled a couple of free throws to pretty much seal the game. All right, he makes the first for his 59th point. One more free throw to get to 60. Gordon Hayward of the Jazz stepping in the lane.
I saw that.
On the second free throw. How about that? Because if he misses, okay, lane violation, he'd get another chance. You know, respect comes in many different ways. And I'm sure Hayward, like many of those players who were on the floor that night, grew up watching Kobe. All these guys who are playing now grew up watching Kobe and idolized him. Draymond Green talked about it today, and he's just, you know, he's unable to really put it into words. He said, you know, I don't know how people deal with it. Everybody deals with it differently, but he didn't want to talk about Kobe. He wanted to talk to Kobe, and he'll never get to again.
Yeah, and you think about Draymond with Kobe sort of tied together and being that rare breed of guy who demands so much from his teammates. I mean, you always heard that about Michael Jordan as well, just demanding a teammate to, you know, live up to their potential and go 100% all the time. Not everybody can do that. In fact, most can't. And that's why maybe sometimes there were some players, some teammates who, you know, didn't like Kobe so much, but you had to respect them. You mentioned the 60 points. How about the 81-point game, too? I mean, you know, that's just something that doesn't happen. Things that he did that you just didn't see before.
Yeah, and he was a virtuoso performer, and that's how he made the team get better. And in that way, I think he was like Jordan. I mean, Jordan had Scottie Pippen, but I mean, he was the lead dog, and he let you know it. And if you didn't like it, too bad. He was the GOAT. Well, Kobe Bryant wanted to be that. It didn't quite work out that way. And, you know, he had his run-ins with coaches, and I think there were times they thought, this guy, I can't coach him. He just got a mind of his own. But it was that single-mindedness that was also a key to his greatness. And I think he saw some of that in Draymond, too. And Draymond mentioned the 2016 finals, the lowest point of his career. And he's telling Kobe, man, I mean, the league's trying to knock me out. They're trying to take me out. The fans are trying to take me out. The media's trying to take me out, you know, basically making him a demon. And Kobe knew where he was coming from with that. But he had words of encouragement for Draymond, and Draymond said that meant so much to him at the lowest point of his career. And he kind of got through it. And, of course, the Warriors went on to win a couple of more titles with Kevin Durant. You know, and I've heard this story from other players. He provided his support and help. He was you know, an Oscar winner for Dear Basketball.
Yeah.
I mean, he loved this game all the way to the very end. He was going to a basketball game, a basketball tournament. He was about hoops all the time. And the sport, in the end, loved him back. And I think he got as much from the sport as he gave, and that's a lot.
Well, certainly it was hard for everyone around the NBA to accept the devastating news about Kobe Bryant on Sunday, and the Warriors were no exception. Steph Curry came out on Instagram and said that he had a lot of questions right now and that his faith is being tested, and all he can say is thank you to Kobe Bryant, and he said, may you and Gianna rest easy. Steve Kerr also commented to the media on Monday.
We're all in shock. We were in shock yesterday when we found out at the beginning of practice, and everybody just stopped in their tracks and basically sat down on the floor in disbelief, and nobody said a word because there's no words to describe what everybody was feeling, and everybody just sort of wandered off and went home. We didn't know what to do. And today we got on the plane and just had a workout, and you know, just still just in absolute shock about the news. You know, for me, the image that keeps coming back to my head is the footage of Kobe and his daughter at the Laker game about a month ago, when she's asking him questions and he's pointing things out, and you know, she was obviously so enamored with the game. And then you just think about how beautiful that scene was and how many incredible times they had ahead of them, those two. and I understand she was a hell of a player. And to think about all those times together that have that would have happened, that should have happened, and then obviously Vanessa and their daughters and all the families who are affected from the people aboard the helicopter. The whole thing is just devastating, and it still doesn't even seem real.
Here's what Draymond Green had to say about Kobe.
I think this is one where, like, even if you didn't know Kobe, you're grieving. You know, if you thought you knew Kobe, you're grieving. If you just watch Kobe and you're a fan, you're grieving. If you're a fan of basketball, you're grieving. And if you knew him, you're crushed. I think for me, it's more personal to me because I think in 2016 was probably the lowest point of my NBA career, of where, you know, a chain of events just kind of almost took me down too. And Kobe reached out to me, and I'm just like, Kobe, like, it's almost like crying to, like, your older brother, or like, Kobe, like, I don't know what to do. Like, these people trying to take me out. Like, the league's trying to take me out. The media's trying to take me out. Like, everybody's trying to take me out. Like, I don't know what to do. And it just felt like my career was caving in on me. To get that call, and he told me, he said, Draymond, 99% of the world is okay with mediocrity. Or worse, but at best, mediocrity. You're chasing something so much bigger that how do you ever expect anyone to understand you? And for me, that was all I needed to hear, especially coming from a guy who just that I've loved since I was a kid, that, you know, I have the utmost respect for, that I end up building a relationship with. That meant the world to me, because it was like Kobe said, "F everybody," you know, and I was able to hold on to that and rally and just keep going and build on it. And for me, that was like Kobe was a real guy, you know, special person.
And Shaquille O'Neal was very emotional when talking on TNT about his former teammate.
The other day, I'm downstairs working out with my son Shakir, my nephew Columbus, and my other nephew comes in crying, and he shows me his phone, and I snapped at him. I said, man, get that out of my face. Just get it away from me. You know, we live in a world where anything could be photoshopped, anything could be hoaxed. I didn't want to believe it. And then I got the call from you, Charles, Kenny. Everybody called me. And then we found out it was confirmed. And haven't felt the pain that sharp in a while. 47 years old, lost two grandmothers, lost a Sarge, lost my sister, and now I lost a little brother. Our names will be attached together for what we did. People always ask about our relationship, and I tell them it's just like me and Charles. You got two strong-minded people that are going to get it done their way. You're going to say certain things. The respect will never be lost. But when it comes to be inside the lines and win, that's what me and him, that's what we did. That's what me and Charles, that's what we do. We up here, we work a lot. And I think a lot of times we take stuff for granted. Like, I don't talk to you guys as much as I need to. The fact that we're not going to be able to joke at his Hall of Fame ceremony. We're not going to be able to say, hi, I got five, you got four. The fact that we're not going to be able to say, if we would stay together, we could have got 10. Those are the things that you can't get back. And with the loss of my father, my sister, and my pain. That's the only thing I wish I could just say something to him again. Last time I talked to him was when we were here and I asked him to get 50 and he got 60. It's the last time I spoke to him. And I just wish I could have, you know, so it definitely changes me. I have to, because I work a lot. You guys know what I do. I work probably more than the average guy, but I just really have to now just take time and just call and say, I love you.
We'll have more Dubs OT after this from Kane's Tire in San Rafael.
When it's time for new tires, you want the lowest prices and the best service, don't you? Well, Kane's Tire in San Rafael has you covered on both. Kane's has the lowest prices in Marin County, and they provide the warm and welcoming service that you can only receive from a family-run business. And this is a dependable family business that's been around for 61 years. Voted best of Marin for 35 years in a row, Kane's prices beat Costco's prices every time. Kane's Tire, 1531 4th Street in San Rafael. Give him a call at 415-453-2942. That's 415-453-2942 for Kane's Tire.
So the Warriors play their first game after the death of Kobe Bryant in Kobe's hometown of Philadelphia against the 76ers. So, of course, they were going to honor Kobe. They had his high school jersey up in the rafters, number 33. And I mentioned before, you know, the tribute of the 24-second violation, the 8-second call as well, and both teams doing that. I thought, Ray, at the beginning of the game, the very beginning, it seemed like neither team was in it, and you could understand that. I mean, you know, you first take the floor. I think it's going to take a little time when you're grieving somebody that you knew, or even if you didn't know them that well, you're still thinking about it. It's on your mind that this was, you know, such a tragedy, and you're on a basketball floor for the first time playing competitively. I think it's going to take you a little while to get into that.
Yeah, it was clear. It was clear that that was on people's minds. And frankly, I don't know how anybody played game Sunday. I guess logistically it was too hard to cancel games, but, you know, that suddenly, but, yeah, nobody's heart could have been in it on Sunday. And, of course, practices were canceled. The Warriors just stopped. They ended the practice, no media availability, as you might understand.
Yeah.
And, by the way, this thing with running out the clock started with the Raptors and the Spurs in San Antonio. And you knew Greg Popovich was going to be in on the planning for that as a tribute. And then some fans got up and applauded and chanted, Kobe, Kobe. You know, of course, the Lakers and Clippers canceled their Tuesday night game, and I understand that. My niece has a friend who works with Lakers publicity, and listen, they are just gutted right now. It's an entire organization that's mourning, as well as the league, and it was just going to be too hard for anybody to get on the floor there at the Staples Center for that game. So they're going to postpone it a few days and come up with an appropriate tribute. And as you probably know, tons of people are coming outside to put that memorial, sort of an impromptu memorial, outside the Staples Center. Maybe out of all the tributes, the best one is Magic saying he's the greatest Laker, when you think of all the great players, including Magic, who were in L.A. And, you know, again, there are players on the Warriors now who watched a lot of his games growing up, and some of them might have been Laker fans. You know, but time goes on, and you know, you get in your professional careers, and you're giving your all to your team. Some things are bigger than just the laundry that we wear. And in this case, it's about elevating a sport, helping elevate a sport to an international phenomenon, and he was a big part of that.
Some of the players like Steph Curry and LeBron James, I mean, they just weren't ready to talk about it right away. I mean, it was pretty hard. And LeBron James did write something on Instagram, which was very touching. And he talked about how he had a little discussion with Kobe Bryant on Sunday morning before he got in that helicopter. I mean,
wow.
He just talked to him on Sunday morning. I mean, it's hard to believe. So you can imagine how that hits LeBron and same with Steph, who, you know, he's sitting out. He's not playing in the game. And that's all that's probably on his mind when he's sitting on the bench.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, again, you mentioned that Kobe had just tweeted congratulations to LeBron for passing him on the scoring list and saying, you know, moving the game forward. So I'm sure that's part of what they were talking about. I mentioned D'Angelo Russell being there for Kobe's farewell game, and He posted on social media that he finds himself thinking all the time about every bit of advice that Kobe gave. And again, for those who played with him, I think toward the end of his career, even if you didn't have a whole lot of success, you got sort of the Yoda version of Kobe. And he was bringing the knowledge because he was a single-minded player, sometimes a selfish player, but he knew the game in and out. And you listened when he talked about the game and the ins and outs, what to do on defense, what to do offensively, where to be on the court, how to handle the ups and downs of a long season. I believe D'Angelo takes that to heart. He's, by the way, shot the ball very well the last few games and is starting to play at the all-star level that we saw last year. And he's moved up in the echelon of players, and he gives some credit to the advice that Kobe gave. I'll give you one more little anecdote. You remember the night that Kobe blew out his Achilles.
Oh, yeah. And the
it was
free
against
throws.
The Warriors.
Yeah. Right.
Right. And he came back and shot the free throws a la Clay in the finals.
Yeah.
Last year after the knee injury. And he shot the free throws. Kobe was about 35 at the time, I think. There are a lot of people on social media and people who called up to the show, our post-game show afterwards, saying, Kobe's done. And I said it more than once. I said, if you think he's done, you just don't know Kobe.
Exactly.
hell no, he's not going to go out like this. And he didn't. And he did have some injuries after that for a couple of years. But still ended up having some big moments. And actually, toward the end of his career, that season, had several 30-point games before he went off for the 60 in his final game. So, even at an advanced age for a basketball player, kind of like Jordan, he was still an effective player in this league. And like I said, from the very first time when he played hoops after he was drafted by Charlotte and traded to the Lakers in the Vlade Divac deal, engineered by Jerry West. Jerry West has his handprints over so many moments in this league, and that includes in the Warriors' transformation. But very first game Kobe played before a packed house in Long Beach in the Summer Pro League there, and he put up 25 at the age of 17. You remember his first playoff series against Utah. They lost, and he fired up like four air balls at the end of the game.
Yeah.
But Shaq said, man, that took guts. You don't see many people willing to take shots like that in those moments, especially after one air ball. But he kept firing away, and that's the way he was, relentless from the very first moment of his career to the very end.
Yeah, and I think that is sort of the lesson that a lot of the younger players have learned, that you just keep going. You can't lose your confidence. I mean, we've seen that with Steph Curry. He's had a share of slumps, and he just breaks out of it. And I think with Klay Thompson, we sort of see the similarity of, when he got hurt, it just killed him. It's just like, how am I going to get through this? Because he just lives for basketball, just the way Kobe did. And know that he's going to fight hard to get back and play 100%.
Well, yeah. And these players, a lot of players are going to be dedicating themselves to Kobe Bryant. And Kevin Durant certainly can relate, coming back from an Achilles injury, which is just about the worst you can have in sports. I have no doubt Steph will be back and will be close to his peak very soon. Klay, it's going to be a longer window, but Klay has sort of that, he sort of lives for hoops, kind of like Kobe did.
Yeah.
He's got a little of that mentality. It's not necessarily the Black Mamba, but the end results are pretty close to the same. Just ask any of Klay's opponents, in the playoffs. And we were talking about it, watching Kobe explode in the fourth quarter of that final game, and thinking about great performances considering his advanced age. And I still go back to Klay. Putting up 60 in three quarters and 37 in one quarter. I've never seen anything like that in person on a basketball floor. So you know what he's capable of. And I have every confidence that Klay will come back. He's going to do this right to make sure he's sound all the way into his 30s.
And last thing here, just to touch on the game in Philly tonight. Russell, you mentioned that he's been hot lately at 6 threes, 28 points. And the guy that I was impressed with, again, is Marquese Chris. I mean, he had a bunch of, dunks and just good plays in the game. He's rebounding. You know, he had 15 points, 6 of 10 from the field. I think that the Warriors getting him back, that's a major plus for them.
I think it really is. And I think, you know, if he knows that he's found a home and has a future, it kind of frees you up a little bit. You don't have to constantly fight for a job, fight for your career. And, you know, he's had some ups and downs and maybe hasn't attacked the game with the ferocity that he needs to. Maybe we're starting to see that now. And you know that next year, with the kind of team they're going to put on the floor, that he's going to be ready to go and be ready to start the prime of his career. I think, you know, the first few years has been the learning point in his career. And it's encouraging to see him have moments like tonight that, you know, this is a player who's still young, who's still learning, but is growing in confidence. And you get the floor spaced with guys like Steph or D'Angelo or Clay on the floor and Draymond's passing ability next year, and it's going to be Lob City. Excuse me while I steal that phrase for Marquese Chris. And I think he's very excited about that opportunity coming up.
All right, Ray, look forward to talking about the Warriors again next week. But for now, I really appreciate all of your thoughts here on Kobe Bryant. And, boy, it just makes you think about how fragile life is. And just you want to give your loved ones an extra hug as soon as you can after you hear about something like this. It's just, it's just another reminder to everyone about, how fleeting life can be, even to someone who, as I said earlier, was larger than life.
Yeah, and, you know, I can tell you from personal experience, even before this happened, that you have to learn to relish life. You have to. Don't get bogged down on the little petty disagreements and little things you worry about. 90% of the stuff we worry about is nothing. All right. And you know, this is a reminder what happened with Kobe. And I think about it every day now, especially after the last year. Be grateful every morning you wake up alive and attack the day.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot, Ray.
Thank you, Joe.
Thanks for listening to the Dubs OT Warriors podcast. Join Joe Castellano and Ray Woodson again next week on thesportsvirus.com.